This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Parshas Vayeshev. Of course, this is unusual this year, but this year Vayeshev is actually Shabbos Chanukah, and Parshas Miketz is not a very unusual occurrence. What I'm going to do is try and do a bit of everything. Try and mention a few ideas where we connect Parshas Vayeshev to Chanukah, and then one Chanukah idea and one pure Vayeshev idea. So let's begin with paragraph one. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. The Pasuk says in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the famous incident where the Shvatim throw Yosef into the burr, into the pit. Reuven comes to the rescue and says, we mustn't kill Yosef. Reuven, al tishpechudom, don't kill him. Throw him into the pit. And the Torah testifies that he was trying to save him. Continues the Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayhi kasher bo Yosef el ochiv. When Yosef comes to his brother sent by his father Yaakov, vayafshitu es Yosef es kutontoi, they take off his coat. Ve'es ketonis hapasim, Rashi says that's the extra coat. Ketonis pasim asher olov. Vayikochkuhu vayashlichu es ha'boira. And they take him and they throw him into the burr. V'ha'boi reik ein boi mayim. The pit is empty, ein boi mayim, and it has no water in it. Okay. The Gemara in Shabbos on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, as I mentioned in the Halacha, these two or three blots in Shabbos is the whole, all the Gemaras of Chanukah. The Gemara says that it's probably one of the most famous Gemaras in the whole of Shabbos. The Gemara says, Ner Shel Chanukah, Shehenicha Lamal Me'esrim Amo Psula. The Ner Chanukah, you put a menorah above 20 Amos, Psula Kasuka V'Kamavui. It's possible like a Sukkah and like a Mavui. So we know you've got to make sure that the menorah is within 20 amas of a house, 20 amas, which is between 30 and 40 feet or so. You've got to put it there. What do you do if you're in a high-rise building? If you're in a high-rise apartment building, so then you've got to make sure it's within 20 amas. You should light it by the Pesach. The Shatzian says, the Shatzian, Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Simon Tofresh Ayin Aleph in Sifkot and Membeis, that's, if you're living in a high-rise apartment where the window is more than 20 amas above the street, better to light by the entranceway. What if you've got a high-rise apartment and you're living where there's another high-rise apartment across the block and you can see into theirs, you can see each other. Is that considered Pirsumi Nisa? So Bosna says it is, and you can light, even though you're maybe 10 stories up, you're able to light there because it's considered Pirsuminissa for across the street. Rabbi Yashiv and Meshe Sternbuch argue, but that's just an application of this halacha. So that's where it comes from, the Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Now after this memra, which is about Chanukah, the Gemara goes on and says another quote from the same Amora. Omer of Kahana Dorsh of Nosim Bam Yumi Mishmeidzer of Tanchum. Mai Dichsiv, this week's Pasuk, this is what I just read. Vahaboy Reik Ein B'mayim. Famously, says the Gemara, Mimashma Shinema Vahaboy Reik Ein Yodesh Ein B'mayim. The Torah says, Vahaboy Reik, the pit is empty. So obviously it's empty, there's nothing in there. Why does the Torah add Ein B'mayim? Says the Gemara, Elamatam of Lomer Ein B'mayim. That mayim ein boy, there's no water in it. Avon nechoshim akrovim yesh, but there are snakes and scorpions in it. Now, two questions. Question number one: what is the connection between this particular Gemara and the statement before it? You know, the natural connection, of course, is that it's by the same Amora, and many times the Gemara does that. The Gemara quotes relevant statements of some Amora. And it's connected to the Gemara in hand. And then they'll tell you another statement he happens to mention. So you could explain it like that. It's the same memra of Kahana says in the name of Nosson by Manumi, Mishmeidzer of Tanchum. Good. But there's something more going on over here. There seems to be a connection between this rule, the Ner Chanukah, that you put more than 20 amas high, 30 to 40 feet high, is Pesula, because you can't see it, you won't catch it. The same as sukkah, the same as mavi. If you've got a sukkah which is more than 20 amas high, it's possible because you won't notice the schach. And so too with a mavi, if you have the lechi going across, then the kaira going across, then you won't recognize it, you won't see it. Why is that connected to the next bit of Gemara, which says, what's the connection? Question number two. Reuven was trying to save Yosef. The Pasuk says that he was trying to save him. So how could he throw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions? Surely that's lethal. And that second question is the kasha of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, if you look at the box, this I saw is brought in the stay of Eliyahu on Shabbos Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Vagon says, Tomua, Heichi Shlicho Yisrael Barim Nechoshim Akrovim. How could they throw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions? V'halo Bezeg Gufa Emiso. So that's going to kill him. Why? Because Shim Nofel Barim Nechoshim Akrovim. If a person, Rachman al-Islam, falls into a pit with snakes and scorpions, May Edim Olav Shemes, you can testify him. Even though you didn't actually see him die, he merely falls into a pit with snakes and scorpions, you can testify him that he died. She'umatirin ishto ninose, and you're allowed, the wife is allowed to get remarried. So Gemara Yevam is kuf chaf aleph amud aleph. In Cain, if it's falling into a pit of snakes and scorpions, it's so lethal that even though you didn't see him die, but you can still testify that he died, and his wife can remarry. In Cain, lo esat solabat sos ruven lashdicha lebarish nachoshin. So why would Reuven throw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions? That's the kasha of the Vilna Gaon. The question is, did Reuven know that there were snakes and scorpions in this pit? The Ramban, if you look at paragraph 3, says he didn't, couldn't have known. Because of Rashi, quoting our Gemara in Shabbos, says the Ramban, it must be that the Nechoshim and the Akrovim, the snakes and the scorpions, were in sort of crevices, nooks and crannies within the pit, because if they were on the surface, Reuven would have seen them. There's no way he would have thrown them there because it's lethal. He was trying to save him. Or perhaps, says the Ramban, Shehoy Omuk, that the pit was very deep, and he didn't notice them. Because if they would have seen that Yosef was in a pit with snakes and scorpions, and Yosef wasn't damaged or harmed by them, they would have seen that he's a tzaddik gomer, that a nes has saved Yosef. And they would see that his merit would save him from all evil. They would leave him alone. They wouldn't touch him now. Must be, concludes the Ramban, they didn't know that there were nechoshim akrovim in the pit. Okay, that's the Ramban on the pasuk. The Ritva in Shabbos says this, HaTorah Heida, Shehayu Sham Nechoshim Akrovim, B'churim, the Torah testifies that there were Nechoshim Akrovim there, V'osla HaKadosh Baruch Hu Neis, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle. Avol Vadai Lo Hayu Nechoshim Akrovim Nirim Sham. But it must, you've got to say, says the Ritva, that they were not visible. Shem Lokei Mao Sheida HaTorah Shal Reuven, Aman Hatzalesa Miyodom. How come the Torah testified that Reuven was trying to save him? Clearly, if there were snakes and scorpions there, throw him into a pit with snakes and scorpions is not going to save him. So we have two questions. Question number one, what is the connection between this particular lesson that a menorah more than 20 amos is possible? You've got to put it within 20 amos and the Gemara of Habore came by Mayim. And second of all, if Reuven was trying to save him, why did he throw him into a pit of Nechoshim HaKrovim of snakes and scorpions? So the Vilna Gaon, another Vilna Gaon, also brought in the Seh Eliyahu and Shabbos Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, says an amazing thing. There is a hint in the Pasuk itself that the Shvatim and Reuven didn't realize they were Nechoshim HaKrovim, though. How do you see it? Take a look at paragraph 4. V'zeh she'omah HaKosuv, that which the Torah says, V'yashlichu oisei habora, look how it spells habora. The hey at the beginning just means the pit. Boira is the locative, into it. But the roots is, of course, the word bur, the pit. But it's spelt base resh, without a vav. Says the Vilna Gaon, choser vav, it's missing a vav. to indicate shechoshu shaber chosa in bayomuma, because they thought the pit was empty, there was nothing in there. Avad ha'toyre me'ida, continues the pasuk, v'ha'boyer reik, bur is spelt base vav reish with a vav, rak ein b'mayim, bur mole vav with a vav in it, shayah b'nechoshin akrovim, that it was full, there was something in it. So the Vilna Gaon amazingly tells us that the pasuk itself hints that they thought the pit was empty, v'ha'boyer without a vav, but actually ha'boyer with a vav was nechoshin akrovim yesh bo. Now, so it seems that Reuven didn't know about it, but let's do a Torah to me. There's an amazing Torah to me. And the Vilna Gaon again also brought in, it's Steyr Liov says the same thing, but I quoted it from the Torah to me. It says an amazing answer to our questions. It says the Torah to me. This is on the Pasuk, in Bereshis Perek Lamed Zayin Ha'orachof. Paragraph 5. Please take a look inside. V'lo yipole. Don't wonder that they didn't see what was inside the pit. There is a pirush called the Mefarish on Maseches Tomid, one of the more obscure Masechtas in Shas. Sof Perakam at the end of the first chapter. That whenever he uses the expression lahashlich hashlocha, it must mean 20 amos. That's what the Mefarish says over there in Tomid in reference to the Beis Hamikdash. The pasuk says, they threw him into the pit. Whenever it uses the word vayishlach sholchu, it means 20 amos. So it must be they threw him into a pit which was deeper than 20 amos. For kaimelon, we know the more than 20 amos, you don't notice things. It's too far. It's too high up. It's too far away. To Kaimelon in their Chanukah v'Sukkah, like we know with Chanukah, as I mentioned, and Sukkah. V'yesh l'chavim v'fizeh smichas v'shaychas drosha zu b'gemara. I now understand the connection, the juxtaposition of the two droshas in the Gemara there in Shabbos. Im hadin ner Chanukah shenichel amarim esmam v'psula. If a menorah is put more than 20 amos, that's possible. You have not fulfilled your mitzvah. Mishum delo shol t'boin, like Rashi says there, because you wouldn't have known, no one notices it. Aside from the fact that it's one Amira who says both ideas, Yishlema says the Torah to me, you can say better, more. Mishum the Tam Dishneim Shalom, because there's a common theme between the two. Lahiris, the Lamarim Yasram Amma Einhain Shaletis Bay. And therefore, that's why Dalkoch Tzarech Lemed on Nitzel Yosef and Abur Ashahoy Benez. That's why Reuven threw him into the bur, because it was more than 20 amos away, because it says the word vayashlichu, they threw him, which is more than 20 amos. And that's why they couldn't see the nechoshim v'akrovim at the bottom of the pit. Shari kaimel, mesof yivomis, etc., etc. So you see that we've answered both our questions quite magnificently. We've answered our questions. The first question is, what is the connection between the first member of the Gemara, Ne'echa shel Chanukah, shenichel mal me'esrim amah psula, and the next statements of the Gemara of Mayim Einboy of Nachoshim Akrov Yeshboy, the common theme is that more than 20 amas you won't see something. And therefore you put a menorah 20 amas high, possible, because the passerby won't be able to notice it. And the Gemara continues, and they threw him into a pit. It must have been more than 20 amas. And that's why Reuven didn't see the Nachoshim Akrovim at the bottom of the pit. Because after all, they were trying to save him. Reuven was trying to save him and not kill him. So we have therefore answered both our questions. That is the connection between these two statements in the Gemara. And yes, Reuven was indeed trying to save him, and he threw him into this pit, not knowing that there were Nechoshim Akrovim in there. Fantastic. Really a very amazing insight to the Torah Tumim and the Vilna Gaon. Okay. Now, let's press on. One idea on Parshas Vayeshev, and one idea solely on Chanukah. This idea on the Parshas Vayeshev I'm about to share with you, I must admit that I did say this once in a Parshashit before, but it's a magnificent idea, and therefore I can't apologize too much. As Robert Bernstein used to say, if it's worth saying once, it's worth repeating. But when I was looking through what I said in the past and trying to find new material, I noticed that this idea is in the name of Rav Moshe Landinsky. Rav Moshe Landinsky was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin at the time of the Chofetz Chaim. And he's known to us, perhaps in London, as the grandfather of Rabbi Yankel Plitnik. Rabbi Yankel was nifta only a few weeks ago. A man, I think he was in his late 90s, a very special man. And I thought it's appropriate, you know, given it's so close to his patera, that I should mention this idea. He remembered his Eda and he told great stories that he, you know, of the Chofetz Chaim. Anyway, so let me share with you this idea of Rav Moshe Landinsky. At the end of the parsha, Yosef finds himself in a prison in Mitzrayim. And you have the famous story of the butler and the baker. Both the butler and the baker have dreams, and they approach Yosef to help him, to help them interpret the dreams. So let's take a look at the Pesukim. Pasuk, I'm in paragraph 6. The Sar HaMashkim, the butler, tells his dream to Yosef. There was a gefen, a vine in front of me. There were three branches. It was full of ripe grapes. Says the butler, I had the glass of para in my hand. And I took the grapes. And I squeezed them. I gave the coast back to Paro. Says the Pasuk, and Yosef said to the butler, this is the interpretation of the dream. The three branches represent 3 days. Paro will restore you to your position. Good news. Everything's going to be okay. Said next Pasuk, Pasuk Tezahin, I mean. The baker saw that Yosef had interpreted Yosef's dream, the butler's dream well. But Yomel Yosef, Afani Bechalamosi, I also had a dream. The baker comes to Yosef, I also had a dream. There were three baskets on my head, with a salo elyon, nikol machu, paru, masa, oifa, baked goods in the basket, the oifa, oichalos, omen, asami, al roshi, and the birds came pecking, etc., etc. By Ya'an Yosef, Ayomer, and Yosef responded and said, Ze pisroino, this is the interpretation, shloshes asalim, shloshes yomim. The three baskets represent 3 days, etc., etc. And we know that in 3 days' time, he will be killed. Bad news. If you look carefully at the pasuk, there's a subtle difference between the way Yosef responds to the butler and to the baker. To the Sar HaMashkim, to the butler, in pasuk Yud-Beis, it says, Vayomer lo Yosef. And Yosef says to him, this is the explanation, this is the interpretation. 3 days' time, you're going to be restored to your position. Good news. But in pasuk Yud-Ches, when he replies to the baker, it says, Vaya'an Yosef Vayomer. Why the difference? With the butler, it's Vayomer lo Yosef. With the baker, Vaya'an Yosef Vayomer. Why the difference? So Rav Moshe Landinsky gave the following marshal. Imagine, Rachman al Islam, you have a family member who's desperately ill, needs a major operation. So imagine it's a big operation in many hours. So the family are waiting in the waiting room. They're saying Tehillim, they're crying, they're desperate. And before the doctor, the surgeon goes in, the family go up to him and say, look, it's a 10-hour operation. Please, for us to sit there for talk, please, if you can, at some point in the operation, come out and tell us how it's going. Okay, he'll try. They're all sitting in the waiting room saying Tehillim, davening. Halfway through the operation, the surgeon comes out. He goes into the waiting room. Imagine if he has good news to tell. So imagine if there'll be a spring in his step. He'll come in his full scrubs and he'll say to the family, he says, good news. Baruch Hashem, the operation is going so well. We're confident, we're hopeful, etc., etc. But if Rachman al-Islam, he comes out into the waiting room and it's terrible news, it's lacha hayush, what's he going to say? He'll come out. He said he would come out. He comes out, standing in the waiting room. They'll look at him and say, Nu, how's it going? Tell us, speak to us, what's going on? He'll have to tell them. But he won't volunteer the information. He'll be prompted into a response. When it's good news, you can initiate conversation. You can tell, you can say. When it's bad news, you have to be prompted into a response. Therefore, with the butler, it's Vayomelo Yosef. Yosef tells him the good news. With the baker, where it's bad news, it's Vayan Yosef Vayomer. He has to reply. He has to be prompted into the response. Unbelievable. Every single word of Chumash is so meduyed and so perfect. That's an idea of Moshe Londinsky. Magnificent idea. Let me finish with one idea of Hanukkah. Again, a very, very interesting idea. Miss Hashem, tomorrow night, we will say Alanisim once again. The Loshen is Alanisim, Valapurkon, Valagvurois, Valatruis. We thank HaKadosh Baruch for all the miracles. Valatruis and the salvation. Valhamilchomis and for the battles. Really? We thank Hashem for the battle. I can understand we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we overcame the battle, but why on earth are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battle itself? What's going on? Another question. We know that Purim is on the 14th of Adar, but the battle of Purim was on Yud Gimel Adar. So we were victorious on Yud Gimel on the 13th of Adar, and we celebrate on the 14th of Adar. I understand that. But Chanukah, the battle was on Chaf Hei Kislev on the 25th of Kislev. So why do we celebrate the same day as the battle? So two questions. Why are we thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the battle itself? And second of all, why is it Purim? We celebrate the day after the battle, the 14th of Adar, when the battle was on the 13th. But on Chanukah, the battle was on Chaf Hei Kislev, and that is the day we celebrate. Why? What's going on? So it's well known that one of the differences between Chanukah and Purim is that Purim was an attempt to just physically annihilate Klal Yisrael. The threat itself was physical. They wanted just to destroy us. Lahashmid laharigu la'aved. They wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. If you think of a more modern analogy, in the Second World War, the Nazis, it was that threat. They weren't trying to convert us to Christianity. They weren't trying to convert us to their way of thinking or anything like that. It was just total annihilation. Masha'in came, Chanukah, the threat was actually spiritual. In other words, we don't want to physically destroy you. We want to Hellenize you. We want to make you into Yevonim. The threat was spiritual. Now, if that's the case, if Purim is a physical threat and Chanukah is a spiritual threat, then we can understand. Because it's connected to an idea in last week's parasha. In last week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu undergoes a name change. The pasuk says, "Vayomer lo Yaakov ye'omer oy shimcha ki Yisrael." You're no longer going to be called Yaakov, but Yisrael. Why? Ki soriso imelekim imelehim ve'imanoshim v'atuchol. Because you battled with angels and with man, and you overcame them. You prevailed. It's a famous kasha. Why? And we are therefore called Yisrael. Ki soriso, because you did battle with this angel and with man, with love and with Esav. Rashi says, and you overcame them, you won. Isn't the main point over there, Vatuchol, that you won, you overcame them? Why are we called Kisoriso Yisrael, based on the word Kisoriso, you battled, you struggled? We should be called something called Vatuchol, or connected to that. The answer is, because in Yiddishkeit, when it comes to Ruchni, when it comes to spiritual matters, the Ikar is the battle, the struggle, and not the outcome. In a way, the outcome is almost irrelevant. The focus, the ikka, is the struggle. That's where, in a ruchni world, that's the main thing. If that's the case, we now understand. On Purim, where the focus was on the physical, that's less. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next day, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudalit. But on Chanukah, where the threat was spiritual, that was the main thing. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the struggle itself. Because the spiritual struggle makes us who we are. Kisoriso, you are Yisrael because of the struggle. That's who you are. That's the main thing. And therefore, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the milchomos, because in the spiritual realm, that's really the main battle. That's the main thing. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the struggle, because that really defines, that's really makes us become who we're meant to be. And therefore, we celebrate on the day of the battle itself, because that's our focus. Fabulous idea. Let's just review what we said. Three ideas this evening. The first idea is that of throwing Yosef into the pit. If Reuven was trying to save Yosef, as the pasuk testifies, why throw him into a pit where it was full of nechoshim v'akrovim, as the Vilna Gaon points out? The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that throwing a person into a pit of snakes and scorpions is lethal. You can testify that he died even if you didn't actually see his death, because there's no way he'll survive. So was Reuven saving him or not? Question number two, what's the juxtaposition of the two famous members in Shabbos, the member that if you put a menorah more than 20 amos, it's psula. And the next member of, what's the connection between these two ideas? The answer is there is a common theme. The common theme is that both have this theme of more than 20 amos you don't see. That's why a menorah is possible, and that's why Reuven threw him in there, because it was more than 20 amos. Vayashlichu, says the Torah to Mima. Mefarash in Maseches Tomit says Vayashlichu is always more than 20 amos. Therefore, Reuven didn't see him. That's why he threw him into a pit. And that's the idea of the Torah to Mima and of the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon adds that the Torah itself alludes to the fact that they didn't see him, because the Pasuk says Vayashlichu Yisrael Habayra is spelled Choser Beis Reish. That's alluding to the fact that they thought it was empty, but the Torah testifies v'habayir reikim b'mayim mayim b'yin nechoshim akrov miyesh, but bar is there spelt with a vav, that it was mole. In fact, the Torah is testifying to that. Beautiful idea. The second idea we saw was in the name of Moshe Landinsky, the explanation, the magnificent explanation of why v'yoyim elo Yosef for the butler is good news, but when it came to the baker where there was bad news, it's v'ya'an Yosef v'yoyim. You have to be prompted into a reply. And lastly, why do we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Chanukah al hachuyes for hamilchomas, for the battle itself? Why is Purim, the victory was on the 13th and we celebrate the 14th? And on Chanukah, the battle was on the 25th, and that's the day we celebrate? Because there's a difference between physical and spiritual. In matters spiritual, we actually celebrate the struggle, because that's the main thing. We're called Yisrael based on Kisoriso and the Kinve Mamoshi Batucho, because the struggle is the main thing. And therefore, since on Chanukah the threat was spiritual, we actually celebrate the struggle and we give thanks for the Melchoma, and we celebrate on the Chafei Kislev. I wish you all a very good Shabbos and a Lichtige Chanukah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.